Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, this was sure a November to remember. The Dow was up 2.4% for the week. We're now up over 9% year-to-date in the Dow. Can you believe it? We were flat just a few weeks ago. Now it's up 9.3%. S&P 500 up 0.8% for the week. We're getting real close to being up 20% year-to-date. NASDAQ up 0.4% year-to-date, up over 36%. MSCI International Index up 0.1%, but year-to-date up over 9%. And the bonds, that was the story this week. Bonds up 1.7%. That's pretty substantial in bonds this past week. So what's going on? Well, first of all, the stock market, U.S. stocks gained, get this, 9% overall in November. This was the best month in nearly a year and a half. Think about that. And this was the second best November in terms of performance on the S&P 500 in the last 30 years. So that's crazy. And then also this past week, we had bonds. Bonds, as measured by the Bloomberg Aggregate Bond Index, had their best monthly return, and get this, over 30 years. So what's going on? So this week, I started reading some articles about the bull case versus the bear case. And I was seeing many Wall Street firms unveiling their 2024 S&P 500 targets for next year. And as I was reviewing these predictions, I thought it might be helpful today to lay out the bull case and the bear case, and then which one do I think is more likely? So let's start with that, shall we? What's the bull case right now? What are the bulls thinking overall? And again, these are the arguments you want to write down and pay attention as the year continues to unfold and as we enter next year. Because if these things are happening, it's more likely than not the market will continue to do well. So the bullish argument for stocks can be summed up by this statement. Everything that's already priced in actually happens. And I say that because most of the year end 2024 S&P 500 price targets in these articles are talking about 4,700 to 4,800 on the S&P. And as you recall, we just closed Friday at 4,595. So not much more to go there, but still bullish overall if we get there, 4,800. So what's the case? Sure, growth's going to moderate a little bit, but the consumer is still spending and employment's still pretty good. And this will support the economy through next year. So while growth could slow, it's not going to be meaningfully. Second, inflation. Inflation continues to come down. So the entire 21-22 spike in inflation, as we know, was caused by supply chain issues. And as we know now, those are being fixed. And so as that more inventory comes online, things get cheaper and inflation will gradually come down. Third, the Fed, no more hawkish surprises from them. So keep it neutral, guys and gal, sorry. So, you know, if inflation's coming down, then the Fed can start easing up on rates, and lower interest rates will certainly support stocks. No reduction in earnings. So corporations, well, we're expecting them to show earnings, and it should be around $245 a share on average on the S&P 500. So the takeaway, if you do the math, is if the S&P 500 is trading around 19 times earnings next year at 245, we're looking at about 4,800. So when you look at these articles and they're saying overall 4,700 on the S&P, you can see how they get there. Now, let's get really bullish, shall we? Because you know they're out there and you're going to hear about them. You're going to go, why is he or she saying that? What does that mean? So these are the really bullish people. These are the ones that I think are on a different planet. How's that? They say that, there's an immaculate disinflation. And you know about that. I've been talking about that now for months. And for those of you who don't know what that means, go back and listen to the previous podcast. I don't have time this morning. All right, next, Fed cuts. The Fed actually cuts rates in the first quarter. I heard it this morning driving to the office on some national news report that they're expecting that. I don't think so. You'll hear in a minute why. So if those two folks are correct in their opinions, well, then what happens to the S&P 500? Get this, 5,000. You heard me right. 5,024 is attainable if the S&P trades at 20 times earnings with the 250 number. That's how you get to 5,000. I mean, it's possible. Think about it. And as we know, in the end phases of these, frothy markets, you've seen this before. You know, if you've been doing this 30 plus years like me, you've seen these things. They come and go. So that's the bear case for next year. Now, of course, the bears are around and they're talking too. So let's see what they say. The bears think this. They think that everything that we were worried about going into this year actually happens, finally. And what is that? Well, first, the economic growth doesn't just slow, it downright contracts and goes the other way. And as we know, there are no absolute certainties when it comes to the market. But if there is one thing that's certain, it's that higher interest rates eventually kill economic expansion. It's happened every single time. And the Fed has just finished the most dramatic rate hike cycle we've seen in decades. And even now, rates sit at multi-decade highs. If you're getting financing, if you're borrowing mortgage, I'm starting to finally see properties that are being auctioned off. Remember those days? Just Google it. You'll see these 35. Oh, I saw this one yesterday. Some friend of mine sent it to me. It was a $135 million home going for $35 million. What a deal. But who's got $35 million to write a check and pay for that house? Can't get financing. The duration of these higher interest rates will cause slow growth, which I think is happening now. And then later in 24, an outright contraction. Again, these are the bears. They also think inflation is going to stabilize and doesn't decline further. And this is what's interesting, because if you remember back, the easy part of inflation going the other way, also known as disinflation, in this case was our consumer price index, remember, went from 9% down to 3%. And that's where we are right now. But with companies and consumers now used to higher prices, the last bit of the inflation decline is going to be difficult. And why I say that is because inflation is just tough as it starts to get down to that bottom level. It's really hard to make it go further because remember, the Fed wants 2%. And this is the one I find interesting about the Fed, the prediction. Remember, I just said the bulls were saying they were going to cut in the first quarter or the early part of the year next year. The bulls are disagreeing with that. They're saying the Fed doesn't cut rates and rates stay higher for longer. And that is an interesting observation. Because if corporate returns don't come in the way we want them, the Fed's going to be sort of in a pickle. Stuck between, is that first and second, Kevin? Is that how that works? First and second. That's right. So what's a realistic target for the bears? What are they saying is going to happen? They say if all these things start to happen, then expect this on the S&P 500. Get ready. I'm sorry. 3,800. Bad breath. And while that may seem like a long way down, think about it. It was about a month ago, the S&P 500 was flirting with going through 4,000. So it wasn't that long ago. It just shows you how quickly things can change. So what do I personally think? Well, if the last 30 years in the market have taught me anything, it's that outcomes are not binary. So I don't normally get a universally positive resolution, and nor does everything just break bad just because. Again, normally, right? There's always the tail event. In the last 30-something years, I've seen three of those. The truth is usually in the middle somewhere. And that's where I think we are right now for 24. So long before the age of quantitative easing and ZERP. Ready for that? You love my acronym. ZERP stands for Zero Interest Rate Policy. Markets were more nuanced and more volatile, but in the end, more times than not, they drifted modestly higher. First, economic growth. I think based on the data we're seeing right now, we've been talking about for weeks here, I believe that growth is going to slow more than the consensus thinks, but it's not going to collapse and we're not going to go into a deep recession. Second, Fed. This is the one I find fascinating. The market right now is too aggressive in its expectations for the Fed cutting rates by, say, May next year. Here's why. First, I don't think the Fed can reasonably cut rates unless the CPI, again, our inflation measure, is under 3% year over year. And I'm not confident that's going to happen in 24, and here's why. Remember Arthur Burns? Go look him up. Arthur Burns. He was the 1970s Fed president. And he was regarded as one of the worst because, well, he cut rates too early. And the inflation that he thought was gone wasn't. It bounced back. And then we saw those high interest rates and staggering inflation in the 70s and 80s. And I remember that as a kid. Long lines at the gas station. Remember that? That's what was going on. CDs paying 12, 14%. The Fed, Chair Powell, doesn't want to make that same mistake. They may make a new mistake, but I'm telling you right now, I don't think Powell's going to let the Burns legacy hit him. So that's what I think about that. And I do think that earnings are going to grow in 24, but not at the 10% expectation right now. And so what do you want to be doing right now? Well, you want to be cautious. That's what I'm saying, because look at where you are right now. So the sectors you want to pay attention to are quality, value, low volatility. We call them minvol. Focus on those things. Get defensive a little bit. All right? So I'm cautious. It's my bottom line outlook. Be grateful for how you've done, where you are. And next Friday, we will take a look at the unemployment number for November and see if that is still trending in the right direction.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.